So maybe somehow you lost her papers in the transfer from the Navy to the Air Force, someplace along in there. So the Navy was carrying her with AWOL for, oh, I guess 10 or 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And so forth. They couldn't find her. They didn't find her. Uh-huh. They didn't know what happened to her. And they checked everything, and the Navy had this lady, Esther Condrey, probably Kraziza, probably. She was Kraziza then. Lost. And they did every darn thing, checked every source, and they couldn't find her. Well, so what had the, in a publication of the Navy, let's say, or military, this one writer, so forth, wrote the case of a missing woman. The Navy lost a seaman. They can't find her. Now, the Navy's carrying this seaman here now for 10 or 15 years, and they can't find her. Nobody lost her. This gal got lost. AWOL or what? They couldn't, and the Navy was amazed that they could lose a person and never find him. Well, this happened. This writer of the little newspaper or something knew Esther a little bit, and he read that article. There's a Navy girl missing. He says Esther was in the Navy, so he takes that paper over and is sitting there in the coffee shop and so forth, and he says this. He says, "You kind of fit that description here on that." She read it. She said, "You better believe it. I fit that description because that is me." Sure, she says. That it went up to this point and then dropped off. See, uh-huh. She says, absolutely, because they transferred me from 15th Naval District to the PAD and so forth. Then when she paid the PAD, they lost it. See?
Okay.
They lost her, see? And they couldn't put it together anymore and so forth. And so they never did know who lost her. Did PAD lose her or did the 15th Naval District lose her? They didn't know. See, they could never figure it out, see? And so it came on out that they had found this and so forth. So they sent it into the Navy Department. By God, the Navy Department gave her a discharge from the U.S. Navy and so forth. So she's got discharges from the U.S. Navy and from the Panama, the PAD from Air Force, United States Air Force.
Wow.
So you don't find a person, a woman, that served in two departments of the Army.
That's incredible.
So she was great. She on that, and so she got her free ride down to Peru, down at Machu Picchu, because she worked for the Army Air Force, and they had a plane missions. They called them the missions, and so forth. So they took some of the girls from PAD, Panama Air Depot, and put them on the plane, and it's going to be down there for a week or so forth. And so the girls, they just got on there. They were military girls, didn't have uniforms on or anything. They went there down there, and the plane come back, the girls come back, and they were on duty and so forth. So she got a kick out of that. So, and so as a result of that trip, I went down after that. I caught a ride down on a missions plane and went down, and I was down in Lima, Peru when Truman signed the papers terminating the war, 15th of August, 1945.
You know, the USS Missouri, the town that I grew up in was Bremerton, Washington, shipyard town. And for about three decades or so, the USS Missouri was mothballed in our hometown.
Yeah.
And as kids, it was the only field trip we had, the only one. We would go every year, two or three times a year, to the USS Missouri. And then when the Missouri left, it was recommissioned. They sent it to the Gulf, shelled Lebanon, came back, and the town tried to get it back because it was the best thing going for that town. The only reason you ever would have come to Bremerton is to see the Missouri.
Yeah, that's right. That's just,
we never got it back, though.
No.
And so instead, we ended up getting the ship that the USS Turner Joy, which was one of the ships that, remember the North Vietnamese had supposedly fired on?
Oh, yeah.
The Gulf of Tonkin incident? Yeah. And then it turned out to be a big, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, we always joke in my town how we lost the magnificent battleship, and instead we got this little knick-knack ship instead.
Boy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother, he was got in the Navy. He had to lie about three or four things to get in it, but he was too young and everything, so he got in the Navy. And he ended up at Fargan, Idaho. And he said that was an awful place. That was awful. He just hated that thing and so forth. So then they got done with him at there. They, he was there. So he went out to Brennan, Bremerton.
Okay.
And had had a week off, or he's off for a few days, and so he took some fishing tackle with him, and he went down and down to the river or wherever it was, and by God, he caught some salmon, and he was bringing those salmon home, and this fella dropped the car. He said, "Hey, sailor, where'd you get those?" "Oh, I got them." "What are you going to do them?" "Oh, I'm going to take them back and probably give them to the cook or something, I don't know." "Oh, well, I'll give you so much money for them," and so forth. So, by the civilian there, boy, he got some money and gave it to my head. "Well, that's all gravy, see?" So then from then on, the fisherman, boy, Chris, he liked to go fishing there. See, well, that didn't last too long because he got transferred. When they found out that he had a bum knee, they took him out of sub school and he couldn't do it. They didn't want him in the submarines anymore because he'd hurt his knee time in his base football field. See? So they transferred him down to San Diego. Boy, he got down to San Diego. "Oh boy, this is nice." He said, "I'm going to sign up for 30 years. He said, this is not every Peregrine, Idaho. See?
Oh yeah,
those places. See? And he says, "This is great." He says, "Palm trees here and everything. Everything's all nice and white." He says, "Sure, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to worry about going to work out here. This is Navy. It's going to make a career of it."
In San Diego, yeah.
Yeah, he was. Laughed. We got his letter in the mail eventually. On that. He was complaining about Farragut, Idaho there, so bad it was that there snow and slush and
Idaho's tough
stuff. It was bad. See?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he's in San Diego. Oh man, he's gonna have this forever.
Yeah.
He was gonna sign up for 30 years right now.
Yeah. Now my dad was in the Naval Reserves, and every summer his ship went down to San Diego, and we always called it his vacation.
Yeah, sure.
You know, 2 weeks. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Oh yeah. Oh sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fantastic. He loved that. That was so very good, and so forth.
Well, Mr. Grazis, I know we've taken up a lot of your time, but were there any final things you wanted to say?
What did we leave out here,
32
honey?
32 years. 32 years vacation.
What'd you say? Come on,
32 years of vacation.
32 years of vacation. You went on a 32-year vacation.
This all bounds to, you know.
In Panama?
Well. Oh, well, oh, one, yeah, well, I know what you said. Well, Well, one of the things that I put in some of my communications and so forth there, and you'll realize this, that to me, Panama Canal, that was a 32-year vacation with pay. Now that's what I felt.
I'd like to get that kind of vacation.
Well, say what you know. You wouldn't that be right, huh?
Yeah, but see, I was in the Army. They sent us out in the jungle.
Yeah, well,
somewhere, but yeah.
All right. Well, I was in the jungle. Hell, I used to deer hunt in jungles and so forth.
Yeah, the good deer hunting down there.
Deer hunting, yeah. Hell, yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah. So, hell, I know the jungle. Shoot, it's pretty good. That's why they were going to send me with the Bushmasters group to the Philippines.
Yeah.
Because I was a good shot, and I knew the jungles, and I spoke Spanish. That's why they were going to do on a thing. But I said, that's my characteristic thing. You can put that on there. That
okay.
To me, my tour of duty in Panama was a 32-year vacation
with pay.
With pay.
What is it with something you say in Spanish and then say what I just said in English? Say something.
Habla well.
In Spanish.
Yeah, habla español. Naturalmente, también muy fácil.
Okay.
Je prepare parler français. Je m'écoute beaucoup. Les Français, eh? I so, well,